This morning, our message is Be Prepared. To kick things off, I want to recognize the monumental feat of what happened last Sunday. Can we give another show of appreciation for my wife as she filled the gap last Sunday? If you don't know, I'm going to give you my side of the story. She shared, if you haven't heard the message, make sure you go to YouTube, check out what she all spoke about. But last week, I wasn't here. Of course, as it happens, when you have small children, sickness tends to go through the house. And so it started the Sunday prior. Each of the kids got sick in their own specific way. And about Friday, the kids were all starting to feel better. So what happens? You play roulette to see which of the parents is going to get sick. And this time, I won. So Friday, I started feeling a little off, stomach was a little upset. But we had the Kenosi Lake fundraising golf tournament, and I was not going to miss it because we were scrambling to put our teams together. And if I get sick on the last minute, I am not going to be very popular. And so Saturday, wake up, and I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway. So I go out, spend the whole day out on the golf course. And of course, the one year it could have been nice and sunny and warm was the year that it was cool and on the verge of raining. And so by the time I got home, well, actually, by the time I got to the camp for lunch, we were dishing up. And Tracy was dishing up the food. And when I took how little I took, she was like, uh-oh. Something is wrong. He only took one rib and I offered him two. This is not a good sign. So I got home and of course I'm chilled, put my sweater on, nothing is working. And by the time it is the kids' bedtime and Michelle is bathing the children, my insides want to be on my outsides and I am not in a good place. And so this is about 7:30 pushing 8 o'clock. And I don't know which of the kids had just wrapped up bathing, but she came out and she's like, you're not going to church. Okay, it's 7:30. I don't know if you know this, but I kind of play an integral part in the Sunday service. And this is really crunch time. So what are we going to do? Maybe I can send a Hail Mary to Darren and maybe he'll come back and fill in. Or maybe I'll call Paul and Blair and my dad, will do a panel and they can expound on us their wisdom of fatherhood, which I still think we should do. I don't know how much we're going to learn about fatherhood with those three up here, but we're going to have a lot of fun while they're up here, right? So I still think that's going to happen at some point. But maybe, and I just went through the whole gambit. Maybe we'll cancel service. Maybe we'll watch a sermon, but I don't really have time to. What are we going to do? And meanwhile, while my head is exploding in its sick-induced state, the Holy Spirit is moving on Michelle and laying on her a message that, of course, in the way that only God can, just happened to be the exact message I had spent all week working on. And he just downloaded all the points, took my message, turned it into Michelle's version of it, and the result was what you got last week. But the question still remained, the panic still remained, what do we do? We need someone to share. We need someone to bring God's word. What do we do? And as I was pondering this question all week, it just wouldn't leave me alone. I was reminded of a series I preached a couple years ago. Pop quiz, does anyone know what series we were in June of 2023? No. See, I could preach things every second year, and you guys would think it's brand new. Forget every third year. But it was about Jesus. That's a pretty safe bet. Yeah. I preached a series back in June of 2023. The series was called Elementary. And it's based on Hebrews 6. The author of Hebrews identifies six things that he calls the fundamental truths. And the point that the author was making was that these are things that every believer should have a firm grasp on, and yet we have to keep going over it again and again and again. But the series started off not in Hebrews 6, but actually in Hebrews 5. where the author says this: you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Now, I want you to think about that. How many of you would think you would fall in this category, that you have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others? I don't want you to put your hand up, and I don't think you would, because you're like, meh, it's got to be at least 30 years. No. Instead, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. You've been believers long enough that you ought to be teaching others. And I asked you this question 2 years ago, and I'm going to ask you again. If asked, how many would take the opportunity to teach? If asked, how many of you, now you can put your hand up this time if you're willing. I'm not forcing you to. See, that's interesting. I asked that question 2 years ago, and it wasn't a rhetorical question. It was a legitimate question. How many of you would be willing to teach? And oddly enough, 2 years later, after all the Bible study, after all of the preaching, after everything that we've been through the last 2 years, the answer is still the same. Not a single hand is shooting up. And if you were here 2 years ago, you fall in that category if you've been believers long enough. In fact, I said a while ago that when it comes to sharing and being making disciples, if you've been a believer for more than a year, in terms of scripture and biblical teaching, you now fall in the category of someone who should be teaching and making disciples. So the question is, if asked, who would do this? And nothing has changed. And for me, that's concerning. Because we should be growing. And I think part of this is an example of the fact that church has become a spectator sport. We come to church and we read our Bibles and we listen to podcasts as an exercise to gain knowledge for ourselves instead of gaining knowledge to be shared. God doesn't give you wisdom and knowledge and depth of insight and everything, you know, half decent, I won't say good, half decent preaching, so that you can just build yourself up and be really good at biblical trivial pursuit. No, you get all of this because it is the expectation that you're going to share it. The same way that because God loved you first, you're going to love your brothers and sisters and your neighbors, right? God doesn't just love you for the sake of you. He loves you so that you can love others better. The expectation is that you're going to go out and make disciples. You're going to share in the riches that God has placed within you. So how many are willing to teach? And then as I was pondering this question, then Thursday comes along. And Thursday, I'm reading through Ezekiel right now on my personal devotions. And I get to Ezekiel 38. And these words, how many people have ever been reading the Bible and it just felt like a phrase or words just like jumped out at the page and hit you between the eyes? Like it was just like the words were magnetic. You couldn't get away from them. So these are the words that popped off the page as I was reading Ezekiel 38. Get ready, be prepared. The whole verse is keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. But get ready and be prepared. And what Ezekiel 38 and 39 are all about, they talk about this figurative nation called Gog. Now, how many people, that sounds familiar? Like we just talked about Gog not too long ago. Anybody? Well, apparently I could re-preach my messages from a month ago and you guys would be sound like it was brand new. We just finished Revelation. In Revelation 20, it talks about Magog and Gog, these nations, these enemies of Israel, the armies that are so big that it just covers the land. Ezekiel describes the same army as a cloud that covers the earth, and it's marching on Israel. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 is all about the fact that they're upon the verge of destroying Israel, and God steps in and eradicates this massive army. To put it in perspective how big this army is, Ezekiel says that it would take, if this army was armed with bows and clubs and spears, there would be enough wood left over from the weapons that Israel wouldn't have to cut down a tree for 7 years to build its fires. 7 years worth of wood in these armaments, in these weapons, to keep Israel warm for 7 years. There would be so many bodies of this army that it would take Israel 7 months of full-time labor to clean it all up. This is a massive army, and in one fell swoop, God just annihilates them. And as I'm reading this, and as I'm thinking about what we talked about with Revelation, I can't help but be drawn to what is happening in the Middle East right now. And the rumors of World War III and all the nations, how they are mobilizing. And I'm sure at World War I and World War II and during the Cold War, the church felt like the end was near and everything was coming together as Revelation. But this one just feels different. It feels like everything we just looked at in Revelation and the things that Scripture describes are coming together. And it just really feels like Jesus is coming back sooner than ever. And so the words, get ready, be prepared, should resonate louder than ever. And if you don't know what's going on in the Middle East, you need to check it out. It's kind of a big deal, especially when we are told throughout Scripture to be praying for and supporting Israel. I don't know if supporting is right, but praying for Israel, because Israel is God's people. We should be paying attention to this stuff. So God is saying, church, it's time to get ready. It's time to be prepared, because if Revelation taught us anything, that things are going to get a whole lot worse. And the question is, are you going to be ready? Are you going to have the strength to endure everything that is coming? As I had all these thoughts going through my brain, then I was also hit with something else. Summer mode is upon us. It's June. We're getting into summer mode. Attendance at church is going down a little bit. Holidays are starting to kick in. Camping season is upon us. I know summer mode means different things for people in ministry than it does for everybody else, but summer mode is here. And even as you go to our website and you look at the church events that are coming up, the calendar is greatly reduced. We go from Sunday morning gatherings and small groups and youth and all the things that are happening to we have Sunday morning gathering, backyard barbecues. So we feed you spiritually Sunday and we feed you physically on Wednesday. That's boom. But the temptation is that because the church as an organization has taken a step back, that as believers, as church, as the people, we start to take a step back. And we relax, and those that are maybe a daily devotional is, I'll get to it. Maybe every other day I'll do it. Those that come to church every Sunday is like, I'll make sure to come next week. This week I'm tired, and I'm kind of in relaxation mode. And right, all of a sudden, everything that we do to make sure that we remain spiritually healthy and disciplined kind of starts to take a step back. And the thought in the back of our brains is, well, when fall comes, we'll get back into it, right? It's kind of our off season. And why can't we just take a little bit of time to just sit back, relax, and enjoy the off season? The problem is that we really don't get an off season. The reality is that Jesus is coming back soon. There's people in our community who are far from him. There's things in motion that are going to change the absolute dynamics. And when we as Christians can't take a step back, we actually need to take a step forward and be more diligent and be more intentional and make sure we are continuing to grow. Because as we read through Scripture, it doesn't say it's okay to rest. I'm not saying there's not a time where we need to rest. We don't need to rest from the things of God. We actually need to press into them, because Scripture tells us to be ready, to be alert, to be watchful, to be in these things, to stay disciplined, to stay the course. And this morning and this week, I found a picture of an athlete that I think captures this really well. So up on the screen, you're going to see, most of you will know who this is. If you don't know who this is AJ Ouellette. This is the running back for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. One of these pictures is how he looked before the offseason, and one of these pictures is how he looked after. So by show of hands, how many people think he ended the 2024 season with picture A? Hands up. Picture A is where he ended, and then he came into this year looking like picture B. Is that, or is it the other way around? Hands up if he started this way and ended that way. Hands up. Some of you don't know. So at the end of the 2024 season, after his absolute dominant season, because AJ runs like he's a truck, and he believes that he is Thor incarnate, he ended the 2024 season 225 pounds. Now, that doesn't help you, because either of those could be 225 pounds. And he could have gone into the offseason, he could have relaxed, and he could actually be B. He could have just kind of let himself go, and lots of athletes do. They kind of enjoy themselves, and then when the season gets started, then they get back into shape. But AJ actually decided that even though he absolutely dominated last year, he was going to come into 2025 even better. And when he got to camp and he weighed in, AJ Ouellette weighed in at a shredded 200 pounds. Over the course of a few months, he shed 25 pounds, and he actually started at B, and he started this season as A. It was the other way around. And I don't know if you've been watching, but you can tell. He is running faster. He is harder to hit. But when he hits you, you still feel it. I'm glad I'm not the one playing defense against the guy. Which brings us to Paul's teaching to us in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now, maybe Paul is talking about physical health here, but I like to think that he's talking about something bigger. He's talking about his spiritual health, because he says this to his young friend Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. Physical training is good. He's not denying that we should be exercising and taking care of ourselves. But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So what's Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 9? He's saying when it comes to your spiritual life, you should be as disciplined as an athlete. And I want us to take the mindset and the determination that we see in our running back for the Riders. That the offseason isn't an opportunity to take a step back. The offseason isn't a time to relax. But actually, because the schedule is different, because the timing is different, you should actually take the offseason to get to the fall and actually be in a better place. Because what's going to happen is we're going to get to September, and you know I'm going to do the ministry expo, and I'm going to ask you all to step up and serve and try new things. And the question is, are you going to feel ready, or are you going to feel like, not really at the top of my game right now. Maybe I shouldn't get involved. Because you know what's coming. If you didn't know, now you do. I just told you. So are you going to come to the fall ready to get in the game, ready to serve at your absolute spiritually healthiest? Or you're going to get to the fall being like, I had the whole summer off. I'm going to get back in my routine and maybe I'll bit, you know. Are you going to start A and end up at B? Are you going to start this offseason A because you had a good year of serving, good year at the church, good year of devotions at your absolute prime, and after the offseason have let yourself go a little bit? And so I can't just come up here and say, you need to make sure you're being more disciplined and good luck. So I didn't do that to you. I have a plan. I want you to be different. I want this summer to be different. I want you to come into this summer with the best plan possible to make sure that you are at your spiritual fittest when the fall hits. Because it's one thing, if you ever tried to lose weight, it's one thing to say, I'm going to lose weight and have all the good intentions and nothing ever happens. Great ideas die and get lost in the sea of good intentions. It only happens if you have a plan. Well, good news, I have a plan. So I worked and I worked and I worked, and I came up with what I am calling the One Church Summer Press. And yes, press is an acronym because I'm a pastor and that's what I do. Okay? Don't judge me. It took a lot of work to get press, but anyways, press is a good workout word, so I figured it was going to work. So here we go. The summer press. Five areas in your spiritual walk that I believe that if you take a little bit of time and intentionally try to grow and develop in these areas, you will get to the fall in the best possible place, ready to serve and get active in God's kingdom. So here's the press, okay? Number one, pray. If you're going to grow spiritually, the only way it's going to happen is if you're talking to God. You cannot neglect this. This is the most important, because your faith isn't just an going through the motions. It is a relationship with God, of God the Father and Jesus the Son. And so in order to have a relationship with someone, you need to be talking to them. You need to pray. Woo! You need to read. Because it's one thing for you to talk to God. It's another for God to speak back to you. And one of the clearest and most frequent ways that God speaks to his people is through his word. Faith is knowing who God is and knowing what he promises he's going to do. And the only way you're going to do that is if you get into God's word more. So you need to read. Engrave. I don't like this word, but memorize didn't fit. So we went with engrave. Engrave the word of God into your heart and your mind. You need to be memorizing, because you're not always going to have your Bible with you. You're not always going to have the Bible app open. And there's going to be situations where you need these truths active in your brain and your heart. And so you need to engrave them into your mind and into your heart so that those truths are ready when you need them the most. Sing. I talked about a while ago that every believer should take time every day to sing, to get your eyes off of your current situation and get them onto God. You should be singing. You should be worshiping. Singing and music are deeply spiritual experiences. It is not an accident, and it's not just tradition that we start our services, or not service, we start our gatherings with singing. Singing has an ability to connect us with God in a way that nothing else can. And I am intentionally using the word gathering. Service presents itself as an idea, as something I do for you. Gathering is a reminder that we come together to encourage one another, to get back on point, and to do what God has called us to do. You don't come here as a consumer. You come here as a participant. We don't have service on Sunday morning. We gather as the people and as the ministers of the gospel. So we sing and we connect with our God in a deeply spiritual way. And the one that everyone's most excited about, we share. We share what God is doing. We talk about what God is teaching us and how he's moving. We share about our journey and the lessons we're learning. This is because sometimes someone is going through something and they just feel like they're missing a piece, and then they talk to you, what God's teaching you, and you're like, that's what it is. That's what I've been missing. Because your faith is not your own. Faith is supposed to be lived out in community. And so God gives one person a little piece, another person a little piece, and they talk, and it's like, there it is. I have the key that I've been looking for. That's as close to singing as you are going to get out of me, by the way. Pray, read, engrave, sing, and share. Now, I can just say, okay, there you go. You have the press. Good luck. No. That's not a plan. Again, that's just a good intention. So here, what I've done, and there is one for everybody outside in the foyer, so don't worry. You don't have to share. You can all have one. This is double-sided. You've probably noticed. On one side is what I'm calling the baseline. Because when you're starting to work out, you got to figure out where you're starting at. And this is what the baseline looks like. Number one, pray, say the Lord's Prayer once a day for 31 days. I developed this under the understanding that it's going to start July 1st and end August 31st. So you have 62 days. I want you to do this 31 times. You do the math. It's every second day. There you go. Because if you're new to prayer, this is going to be a big stretch for you. So the idea of this is that I want it to be challenging, but I don't want it to be unattainable. So say the Lord's Prayer 31 times, once a day for 31 days if you're new to prayer. If you read the Bible for 15 minutes once a day for 31 days. 15 minutes. You watch Netflix shows longer than that. So take a pause on your Netflix and watch and read the Bible for 15 minutes. Engrave, memorize the first four verses of the Romans Road. You have 8 weeks. That's one every 2 weeks. You can do it, I promise you. But my brain is old. It's not that old. And this is how you make it young again. Memorize the Romans Road. I told you to do that 3 weeks ago, so you've already got to jump on it. You're welcome. Start here with your memory work. Sing. Sing one worship song once a day for 20 days. And that's the reason I said 20 days is because I'm going to assume you're going to show up for the nine services that are going to happen between. And so those days don't count. Nine Sunday. What? Nine gatherings. Thank. Clay is paying attention. Gold star for Clay. Nine gatherings this summer. So those days don't count. And when you get here, please actually sing. Don't just like go through the motions. Number two, share. Have two conversations about faith. And again, what you have at church doesn't count. Two conversations about your faith with somebody that is outside of the norm. You have 8 weeks. Two conversations should be easy enough to hit. Now, as I go through that, some of you are probably like, psh, easy. That's where the second side comes in. Be careful what you say is easy. On the back side, I have my challenge option. So if you say, well, I pray more than the Lord's Prayer every day. Okay, well, I have some suggestions for you to grow in that prayer routine of yours so that it gets a little bit bigger, it gets a little bit stronger, and you learn something a little bit more. 15 minutes, I read the Bible for an hour every day. Okay, we'll add 15 more minutes. Go a little bit longer. Or try something new when you're reading the Bible. Don't just read it. And I have something, if those four verses are too easy, that's okay. I got a list of verses you could try to memorize. Don't worry. And you can thank the Carlisle Ministerial for these because I asked them and my phone blew up with all the suggestions they had. So it's not about just meeting the grade. It's about pushing yourself. It's about growing because you are expected to grow. Healthy things grow. Healthy things get stronger. So don't just settle. Push yourself a little bit, not a lot. Don't make it uncomfortable. Don't make it impossible. Just push yourself a little. So that when fall comes, you're just a little bit stronger, a little bit ready. Get ready. Be prepared because something is coming. And church, we need to be ready for it. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that in light of everything that is going on, that you would stir in us, that you would, Holy Spirit, that you would prepare us. Father, as we grab our copy of the press and we go through it and we look at the ways that we want to grow and the ways we want to challenge ourselves, Lord, I pray that you would guide us on which ones we need to work on, which and the ways that we need to work on it. Because, Lord, we want to be growing. We want to be like an athlete, not just settling for where we are, but pressing ourselves through discipline to get better, to get stronger. Because, God, you have a big plan for us and we want to be prepared. We want to be ready for all that is coming. Holy Spirit, I invite you to stir in us. God, don't just show us where we need to grow, but God, show us who can help keep us accountable. Like any good workout program, we need help. We need someone to speak and encourage us and cheer us on. And so God, show us who that person is that can walk with us, and we can encourage them and they can encourage us. But Father, may this summer be different. May we come out the other side stronger, better, and the best place we've ever been to serve you in the ways you've called us to. Father, I thank you for the ways that you're moving. Be with us as we discuss and share. In Jesus' name, amen.